Another What's Current podcast by Napier, and we're going to talk all things electrical, but specifically today, all things solar and battery. So you're joined by me, Steve Humphreys. I'm the Technical Commercial Manager at Napier, and I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Duffin.
Hi, everybody.
And also, I'm going to let you do your introduction, Emma, because we've just been told you got a promotion, so props to you.
Not yet, I've not, but hint, I'm going to have one, I hope.
Yeah, so tell us the title.
My technical title is Head of Training UK and Ireland.
Yes, I like that, Emma. I like that. We always like swanky titles, you know. Got manager after my name, I've made it. Yeah. We're just sparks, really, ain't we? And then renewables installers at the end of the day. Yeah, so we're just going to have a chat around all things to do with that, which we're really looking forward to. Now, we've been meaning to get together for a long time to do this, haven't we?
Because a long time.
We just love the fact that you're at these shows, you're technical. Every time I see you on the phone dealing with a problem out on site, like, oh, no, just do this, press this button. No, you've got to do it. So I think that's a really good thing that you're in the industry doing that. But Andy, I'll hand over to you just to maybe pose the first question.
Yeah, it's usually a question we always ask. It's about your background, Emma. How did you get to where you are today? You tell us about your journey in the electrical industry and how you ended up at Solex, as your fancy title is.
Okay, so I wasn't the best at school, I'll admit. wasn't the best at school.
Join a club.
As you can tell, I'm a little bit crazy. So I wanted to be a midwife when I left school. Done my health and social care. I'm really good hands-on. Don't mind blood and guts and all that kind of thing.
I'm the opposite.
Done my health and social care. Done a little bit of, I'll say work experience, as you say, kind of in the hospital sector. Oh, and I absolutely hated it.
Right.
So I kind of, I just do, you drop out. Parents tell you you're never going to amount to anything. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. Go away, kind of thing. Dust for a little bit. And then thought, oh, do you know what? Went and done some cash in hand work, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my brother's mates, and I absolutely loved it. Because I was a little scrawny runt. They put me in all the cupboards. They sent me down tunnels through the loft. And I love getting dirty. I love moving stuff about, climbing through holes under floors, dragging cables through, find old fashioned tis packets.
Newspapers.
Switches. I'm out there in my pocket. Yeah. So I thought, oh, do you know what? Asked him to get his boss to give me a job.
Okay.
I said, because you're a bird, you got to go and do it properly. I'm off and I put myself through college.
Was that a traditional apprentice route, or was that something you just done?
So I put myself through, I went and done the first year full-time course. Got through that and then they changed. So I started on the performing engineering.
Operations.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
2355. Well, it might have been something like that. So done my, paid for that, got through on that, and then they just cut the course.
Oh, right.
So then it was like, you've got to start all over again.
Wow, nice.
So I'm like, no chance, I'm not doing that. So I said, well, if you want to carry on, you've got to move colleges, get yourself a job. So put in some applications to get a job as an apprentice. Okay. And I think I'd done 3 months. Nobody would take me on. Nobody even entertained it. So Neil was my tutor at the time. He says, tell you what, I'm going to just put your last name. And there was me and two other lads. Majority of the time I came first. I got distinctions in all my exams. Soon as I went for an interview and realised I was a girl, I didn't get the job. That was a long time ago. So
it wasn't the
1950s, was it? What sort of decade was that? If you don't mind me asking.
Oh God, early 2000s.
Yeah,
so I feel old now.
No, I was qualified around 2002 myself. So
early 2000s. So I eventually managed to get an apprenticeship, and my boss, brilliant boss, really good. Was a bit harsh. We wouldn't let me use any power tools. I had to do everything by hand. But so glad I did, because my double sockets are amazing. I thought they might have worked.
You're a stonemason, aren't
you? So done that, and then obviously put myself through more courses, and I just done more and more and more to better myself.
Yeah.
My boss was also into the first smart homes that were built in Leicester in Ratbeth. So we did them. Obviously then got into the solar side of things, and he went bust, started up again, done sub work, done a lot of subbing.
Right.
A lot of subbing, doing a lot of different work here, there and everything else, because I was...
Did that help you? do
you have to learn quickly with subcontracting, don't you?
Yeah, we did, because I got to do a bit of everything instead of just being stuck into house building, house backing.
Yeah.
I went here, there and everywhere, and obviously I just travelled. I could drive.
Yeah.
So travelled all over the country. The money was good. Got into the solar. Money's really good. And then obviously that dropped out and I kind of just thought, right, went and worked for an asset management company. They're here today. And then just kind of progressed to where we am.
That's some journey, that is. Fair play to you. You know, to the setback you had there with the, you know, the tutors having the insight to put your second name only. And I like from my, and we spoke earlier off camera about, oh, you know, we don't want to make it all about, oh, women in the industry, which is great. We should champion the women in, and you're living proof of doing that, but you don't need to make it such an event. But what I like about what you said with that is you didn't give in with it. And some of the brightest students I taught in my type, they were the ones that understood things a lot better than the boys, if I'm honest. But what we saw a lot, I think, in with female students in my time was that they didn't make that transition onto the tools, but you did. You liked that bit of it, dirt, the grime, the getting stuck in, and that's quite unusual, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So when my stepdad, it was a bit of a DIY, so he made his kids, he always said, well, I've got to work for my living, you've got to work for yours. So if you want pocket money, you got to earn it.
Right.
So we did, I had to empty rubble bags, and we always moved from a house, done it up, sold it, moved to another scratty house, and we kind of a bit of plastering I can do a bit. I'm not perfect at everything, I'll get done.
You are a solar, mate. You are a solar.
So sort of brings us on to, like, now you're at Solex and you've got this new title, which I won't try and repeat, but we've
I'm the training manager of Solax Power.
Okay, so talk to us, what is a day-to-day for you? What is your daily routine?
So my daily routine is, obviously I book the training in, I have to make sure that the PowerPoints are kind of up to date. Obviously they've got the PowerPoints come from HQ, we are a Chinese company, they have to be translated into English. I've got to make them suitable for the UK market. We have to sell products.
Yeah.
I do try and push that everything's got to be done to regs, because obviously if anything goes wrong, then the installers are going to blame us anyway. It's manufacturer's default, but it's not. If you're not installing it properly, then it's your responsibility at the end of the day. So yeah, just to make sure that I'm following the regs to tell the installers how to do the install, tidying the training room, making sure that we've got all the right bit of kit, trying to make it look aesthetically pleasing, so to speak.
Did you have a training background? Or did you go from straight on the tools to into training, so to speak?
Not training background. Obviously, I've got kids, so I tell them what to do. I'm a woman, so I'm good at giving orders. I can make something out of nothing, as my other half says. But I've had a lot of apprentices under me.
Right.
So with an asset management company that I worked for before, I looked after a lot of guys. So I also done the certificate side of things. I'd have to go out and just double check that all the... they'd put stuff in place properly, the testing was done properly. And I kind of, I think with me being the woman, everybody kind of naturally comes to you, don't they, with the problems and things. So it kind of works.
Yeah, I think some people have got a natural ability to get things across, and it doesn't necessarily mean formal qualifications of teaching. If you're a people person, you've had that all your career, it sounds like you'll naturally translate into doing that anyway with the staff you look after. One question I've just got on your current job role, with the training. So would you then end up with installers like that have already sort of got the basis of their Spark, IT for diffusion, inspection and testing, and a solar and PV battery accredited?
No.
Okay, that's interesting.
So most of the time, 99.9% of the time, they are an electrician that are coming to us that have done a bit of solar maybe, or are getting into solar. So they come and do some training with us, and then obviously, like with you guys, I'll push them down the NAPIT route. You've got to go and do your PV, you've got to go and do your battery courses.
But
obviously, you need your qualification at the end of the day. We do find that there are some people that are not even, they've gone and done, I'll say, a quick part P course kind of thing.
So there's some people
that they've probably been made redundant. They've gone and done an electrical course.
Retraining.
The upskilling.
Then they'll come to me. They'll come to us, have a look at the kit, think, all right, I'll get into that. They might just have a little bit of electrical knowledge, and then they'll say, oh, well, no, that's a bit too much. I don't really want to go down that route. Yeah. I'll employ an electrician.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's quite a broad range of people that come through, but
yeah,
I do find that once you mention the DC word, they're not. I was back in the day when I was installing, everybody was aware what DC was.
Yeah.
Now I find that they just kind of don't get it, where a lot of the solar panels, the voltage has gone up, the amps has gone
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The voltage of the machines has gone up. And exactly. When you try and say, look, if you've not got a DC isolator or you're not using the right tool, you could die.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at Solar Storage Live today. At the moment, you can hear it probably in the background, and there's so many different panels out there now with inverters and equipment, isn't it?
It makes a good point, because we was having some good conversations with what you talked about there, Emma, earlier about people that are looking into it. And I'm saying, you've got to be aware, like, it looks simple. It looks like Meccano, bolt it together, plug it all in. But there's so many dangers to be aware of, what we as technical people know about. And what I love about what you do at Solax is, and it's not a criticism of other manufacturers, but what we see is so many brands, you know, look around this show, there's multiple choices, inverters, panels. We need technical people to be bridging that gap, you know, between, obviously you said they're a Chinese company. You need to push back sometimes and say, we can't do that in the UK because BS 7671, and that doesn't always happen in the industry, does it? That sets you apart really a little bit. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm saying, when I first started at Solax, I did find quite a lot of, no, we're not doing that. No, we can't change that. But then when I kind of accelerated, like, well, this needs to be done. If we can put this in,
then
the installer is going to make the installers' lives a little bit easier, a little bit safer, then they're more likely to buy our product anyway.
Yes.
So, yes, we can add all of that in and hopefully make the industry a little bit better. It's never going to be perfect. No. Everybody's got to work together at the end of the day.
You're always going to get those have a go heroes that want to think they can do it because they've watched a YouTube video of someone doing that. We're never going
to
stop.
I hear that all the time. Yeah. I've watched this on YouTube. I don't need to put a DC isolator. It's in the bloody eggs, it's a DC isolator.
Yeah, it's in their eggs. Which brings us nicely on to sort of that point of, what do you see, Emma, as like, you must see this day in, day out. So you see the gaps, you see the strengths, you see the weaknesses. What would you say the biggest gaps are in the industry? Would it be down to training, like we've talked about?
Definitely training.
Quality training.
Hands-on training.
Mm. Yes.
And I'm not just saying it because I work for Solax, but even in colleges and schools, there's no actual physical live products for anybody to mess about with.
It's a technical trade at the end of the day.
Some of the batteries are not just outer batteries, but batteries are heavy. You've got a lot of health and safety issues.
Understand that.
Manual handling, getting it on the wall. Some people think that they can put an inverter on the wall and just be one person. It's like, no, you might need two or three people.
Yeah.
You might need ladders and another person.
We always say, though, once you've got the right qualifications to do whatever renewable technology you want to do, it's really important that you go out to a manufacturer like yourselves and have that training with them, become an expert in their equipment. Yeah. It just makes sense.
Because
it all changes, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
different
equipment.
And I was going to say the hands-on experience, because if you think about that grey word of competence we all grew up with, like, you know, it's always never been defined, but it does say the skills, knowledge and experience. And I think the experience bit is the bit that's missing. Someone will go and do it, and it might be the best course ever. And they might do training with us. They might then go to you with the Solax as a manufacturer. So they think, their first job is the one they're nervous about. And we see that a lot of members that are making that transition from, say, majority of ours are like those, you know, house bashing kind of electricians, and they're thinking, oh, shall I go into renewables? They're nervous about the first job, but it's then they can tap into people like you, get that support.
I think it's good that they're nervous, because it shows that they actually want to do the job.
Yeah.
You
do it properly.
You know, if there's blanche eye about it, just chuck it in, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Look, I always hold my hands up and say, look, I cock up. Everybody's got to be honest.
Yeah.
Own it at the end of the day. Come to us. If you've never, even if you've done it before, come to us, play around with our kit, knack at our kit instead of knacking your own kit in front of a customer to look like a knocker.
Just
come to us, it's free. Come and get your proper qualification or get your proper qualification.
Where did the training take place? Then do they have a look at base quarters that they go to, or do you go to wholesalers and do it?
So we are based in Atherston, we are based in Tamworth in Atherston. We've got a proper training centre. It's our training centre. Right. It's every Friday. You book on via Eventbrite. And then we can also come out to the wholesalers if they want us. Obviously, it's not hands-on training. We'll do you a PowerPoint about
key features
and stuff. And then hopefully we'll want your company.
And that's all free as
well? All for free, yeah.
Good going. We're booking it out. I'm fucking it out.
If you do it through the website, you've got to pay a £20 deposit, because we had a lot of people last year that was booking on and not turning up. I like my food. Yeah. So I go Costco, you'll get Costco food, get the drinks. Then I have to divvy it out. Well, I'll divvy it out to all these guys that are working in the office, and then there's loads left over. So obviously my boss goes mad at me. Wasting money away, like, that's it.
But it's the kids' packed lunches for the week. I know your trick, Emma.
It's everybody who works there packed lunches
for the week. I think just to finish off on that training thing, and this is not a criticism again of maybe awards in organisations, because I used to work for one. I used to work for LCL Awards, a great place to work. I think this is across the board. I think over the years, and I've seen this in apprenticeship provisions. I remember working at one college in the Midlands. And when I first got the job there, I was shown around all the bays and they were immaculate. There was loads of them. There was a big area. They had all the kit there, two technicians in the room. And I said, can I bring my apprentices down here once a week? And they went, no, this is for the full-time learners. And I said, well, we need to teach them how to do certain aspects of the course. No, they'll learn that on site. And that worried me to death because we're in a world where we're putting the onus on other people. But I think as educators and trainers, you've hit the nail on the head there, Emma. That hands-on bit is like if you sit someone in a room for a day and bore them to death with a PowerPoint and they don't get the hands-on some MC4s, an inverter, make off something, measure some VOCs on a panel, whatever it may be, that's not true reflection of what they're doing on site eventually, is it?
No.
Yeah. So I think we are in a world where training might be a little bit more watered down, which we need to look at. And it's good to see that you're encouraging that, let's have a play with it, let's try and break it, which is always fun.
I'll knack a thing. So, come and have a play with our kit, go and get your qualifications, and then go and try it. But obviously, don't just come straight out of college and think that you're going to be this renewables installer and earn loads of money because you're not.
You've got to do the hard yard.
You've got to get it, like you said, that key word experience. So I know it's a hard thing. You need to do the job to get experience, but you do need some experience, don't you, in your area.
Another question, obviously, fantastic show. We've been here for a couple of days now. We're coming towards the end of this one. Another hour left before we can have a beer. I'll sneak one in before, don't tell the boss. But what do you see? I mean, you're in it, you're in the thick of it, and you're working for a company that's innovative. Some of the products on your stand today, I've never even seen before. The size of the one of the inverters, that does need some handling.
I mean, we're staring at a crane at the moment.
Yeah, we're just, there's so much here. What do you see as the biggest growth area really in the renewables market at the moment?
Oh, it's got to be 100% battery storage, without a doubt.
Totally great.
I have to say, all them people that have got the feed-in tariff, a lot of it is coming to the end of its life now.
Yeah,
they're going to be changing solar panels, they're going to be changing the inverter, even change it now anyway if it's not broke. You're gonna produce so much more energy just by changing that old inverter out, because technology is it's going to grow even more.
And are the batteries going to get smaller, do you think, and lighter?
As technology improves, then the battery technology will get better. There'll be different chemicals that we can use to make the batteries smaller, more efficient, to last longer. Obviously, we've got heating functions built in, you've got the PAS regulations, all that kind of thing. Everything's got to be taken into consideration, hasn't it, to make it regulation proof. More and more battery storage, really, especially with electricity prices going up. Standing charge has just gone up to 54p, apparently. So why would you want to be sending your energy back to the grid?
No.
Or even having your inverters clipping themselves?
You're right.
It's just daft. Stick it in battery storage.
Put some money
in the bank, stick it in battery storage. You're going to earn more by putting your energy in battery storage than you are it sat in the bank earning interest. So
I mean, I think even if you haven't got a customer, let's say in a domestic situation, like in my house where I live, it's grade 2 listed, I wouldn't get permission for solar panels because it's the frontages and the roof. So batteries would be a good option. So I think, with some of these agile tariffs and broker systems for batteries, you're buying it at 12, 15p of an evening and then using that during the day on, not on really high loads, because we know it's going to drain that battery quite quickly depending on the size of your system. I think batteries, I agree with you entirely. That's the growth we're seeing, not just domestically, but commercial. The utility stuff here is unbelievable. Containers full of batteries. We see all the solar farms as we drive up and down the motorway. The containers are the next thing, aren't they? For grid stability as well. Frequency control.
I think the grid is offering a lot. If you have a farm, they're giving you incentive to have the battery storage to be able to help balance the grid as well. Because there's a lot of new builds going up, I've seen, that cannot get the connections in because they just haven't got... They haven't got the infrastructure, plus they haven't got the manpower to do
that. I'm going
to
say, it can't keep up, can it? It all can't keep up with the growth. It's just so
the grid's a creaking system, isn't it? It wasn't designed for this electrification of the UK, was it? But batteries are a way to support that. That it's going to be the new market. Yeah, I agree with you entirely there.
Yeah, Scott, and say another thing I do say to the guys, the guys and girls.
We know what you mean. I say guys and get told off.
The people that come in.
The entities.
The more people that have solar, the more people that have electric cars, obviously you pull in more on the grid, the draw is higher. Yeah, they can't knock your house down. They're not going to dig up the roads to put you bigger cables in. We've got to come to some kind of balancing act with batteries to kind of take that load. Everybody's coming home at 5 o'clock and whacking the electric on it.
Of course. Yeah, it used to be when Coronation had a Coronation in the freight, didn't it?
It was De Norwig in North Wales used to pump the thing up. Yeah, and now we've got batteries to do that for the stability. So it's exciting times for people to be in the industry, isn't it, as well? You know, if you're a youngster coming into it now and you're coming through your college years, you're going to know this is going to be part of an electrician's remit, isn't it?
Yes.
Whereas in my day, I saw the first inference of solar back in the day with the feeding tariff, like you mentioned, but batteries weren't a thing.
No.
It just didn't, didn't exist.
I did some early solar farms and we had small batteries in there. I mean, our battery's been, really early on technologies.
Yeah. What are you seeing domestically then with the batteries? What kind of systems is... I mean, there's no averages. It's because it's bespoke to the customer.
I did read somewhere that you can only have 40 kilowatts somewhere, but I don't know if that's actual fact.
40 kilowatt inside. Well, a recommendation through past 63, 100 and 80 kilowatt outside.
That's fine. And
it's stuck in my head for some reason. Yeah. I'm a proper nerd,
So you can put battery storage inside with the PAS guys.
You can. It's a bit of a myth.
Yeah.
But it is, but recommended outside. And never in loss. No. It was never saying to installers.
Yeah. No skate
rinks. The boards are there only toward the plaster board up, which I tell everybody as well.
No skate rinks.
A lot of our kit is all IP65, 66 rated. It can go outside. It's got heating functions built in. We are bringing out batteries that are ready for AI to be released.
Whoa.
With your deep mind learning and your smart scene. So it will learn your usage habits.
Yeah.
Learn your usage habits.
Yeah.
So that... Right. Come home at 5 o'clock, it's going to connect to your smartwatch, put the kettle on for you as you're walking through the door, save energy for when you have a shower or you're doing your cooking on a Sunday.
Any fire suppression in your ones, Emma?
There is a fire suppressant, so there's a blow-off valve on the back, not that it would really happen anyway, because the inverters will, as soon as the temperature gets so hot, it switches itself off anyway.
So much safety in it.
It's just not going to happen, to be honest. Unless you're going to, somebody's going to stab it or they're going to drop it, then there is a
problem. Yeah, don't go stabbing batteries. Not a good idea.
Don't get stealing them because the
you know, when you said you said they can come to your place to break it, you're like hitting things with hammers. Come on. Let's make it blow up.
To lift this off, drop it off. Yeah.
Is it kid proof? Because usually a kid can destroy it, don't they? Then it'll get destroyed.
They keep nicking at the minute. Yeah, need the dongle so it's not on.
Yeah, but we are seeing more of these safety aspects, and they are safe. And you touched on earlier about the battery chemistries, which is interesting me because we've been in a lithium ion world, moved on from lead acid, thankfully, still in existence and still can be put in. But we're in a lithium ion world. What are you hearing or seeing from your R&D teams, maybe back in China or in the UK or other parts of the world that may be coming down the line? We're hearing sodium.
Sodium. There is, I can't think what it is. I was reading it this morning. I'm a bit over nerd when I can't sleep. There's some kind of, I like that. A liquid kind of form coming as well.
Yeah. Mad, isn't it? The stuff that's coming down the line.
It's a lot more, it can keep a hold of a lot more charge.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that the battery will last a lot longer. So hopefully that will then bring the size of the battery down. But again, everything needs testing, doesn't it? So it's a few years.
You think in a few years' time where we're going to be having conversations like this and we've moved within 10 years, we've seen massive transition in this renewables world. Bifacial panels. Apparently, there's the prototype of the 1 kilowatt panel exists. I've seen 800 here today. Yeah. You know, we're not far off.
I have seen 1,000.
Thousand watt. Are you seeing it?
Yeah. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah. It wouldn't fit on anybody's roof.
You're not going to think it anymore.
But I think what I'm getting at is in 10, 15 years' time, the conversation will have moved on leaps and bounds this chemistry. Like Andy said, things getting smaller, but still producing the same amount of energy or even more.
Yeah. So we've just
exciting times.
We've just bought out, I'll say a portable power bank. It's not here yet, but that's each module is 2.6 kilowatts. So I'm trying to get it tweaked with some things that I'm not going to say.
No.
But yeah, so, and you can have like six stacks.
Yeah. Portable.
And it's not that you can see me guys on the screen, but it's about this big and
she's doing big fish, little fish cardboard bucks for the audio listeners, which is quite comical because we haven't had a beer yet. Andy, what other questions have we got?
I think it probably would be, if obviously you're technical, Emma, bit of advice to our members, our listeners, one bit of advice if they're thinking about, because Steve mentioned it earlier on, a lot of them are quite nervous to go from what they've been doing for years and years, the jump into renewable technologies. What bit of advice would you give them if they're going to go into it, or they're thinking about going into it?
Come and talk to people that have got the experience. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to you guys. Just have the conversation and get it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Instead of say, yes, the internet is good.
Yes.
For all things.
Yeah.
But
Can be a double-edged sword, can't it? Yeah. And misinformation as well, you're right.
A lot of times AI doesn't always get it right, speak to the experts.
It hates my voice anyways.
Got no chance with me.
From Leicester.
Come and talk to people, go and get some, go and get the knowledge.
Have a conversation.
Come and jump on one of our free courses and see if you like it or not.
And I would say, just to back that up, Emma, speak to other installers, because what I'm finding in the renewables world is it's not as cutthroat or as insular as electricians are. Mm-hmm. I think the renewables world, and you see the influencers now, which we've got, they're open to conversations, aren't they, to help each other. I think it's a friendly environment. I don't know what you feel.
Knowledge is power at the end of that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. That's what I said. Look, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. We've gone through that COVID era where nobody's seen anybody. Nobody wants to speak to anybody. And I just smile at everybody. And it's
hello.
Just going,
I think public installers are here to help. People want to help each other.
We want to make the industry better.
People safer.
Keeping safe.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add, Emma, before we wrap this one up?
Just come to Napit and get some training. Get qualified.
Yes. Course.
Come and see us at the Solax Power Stand. That will be here when they're closed.
Emma,
come and get some training.
Thank you so much for doing this one. It's been great because we've got to do this at a show, which I think is going to be really good. And we've been meaning to get together with Emma for a long time to get
her. I appreciate your time.
Much love.
Yeah. So massive thanks to Emma. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Please join us for the next episode coming soon. So don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review. That'd be really good. And until next time, stay safe, stay grounded, and keep the current flowing.
Bye.